have 2.2% of the wealth and 2.2% of our population to have 92% of the wealth. I am now calling out all politicians. All politicians, you are doing absolutely nothing to address this problem. As a matter of fact, if you address this problem, it would not be to your aggrandizement. Because the poor, the masses, the more dominant you would be. They're more dependent upon you. What I would like the Barbados to know, that we misuse the word democracy and we put all kind of fancy meanings to the word democracy. And let me tell you, in my humble opinion, the etymology of democracy is demoskratia. T-I-A. And that means the people rules. And no politician, absolutely none, should be able to come and make any unilateral decision. Now, my antidote for addressing the wealth in our country is, and I'm going to give you a scenario. Money is an illusion. And we must first get that embedded into our minds. The scenario is, I'm drawing 10 persons from 1 to 10. Number 1 was number 2, $1,000. And go down to number 10. And number 10 owes number 1, $1,000. Now, you, Madam Moderator, mm-hmm. had gone to number 1 and said to number 1, I want to engage your service. How much would it cost? $40,000, $50,000. Now, I am going to give you $10,000. Deposit $10,000. And you take that $10,000. You owe number one. Number one pays number two down to number 10. Number 10 owes you that money. And number 10 paid you back that money. You, Madam Moderator, comes back to number 1 and says, I'm not going to worry anymore. Do you realize that is $10,000 that had circulated among those 10 people? But our problem is dishonesty. And we have to make sure that we are honest to ourselves and make sure that we have that love among each other. And I am not going to be like Mr. Nassau and say white or black, but every Barbadian should adopt this, and we will see who would own 92.2% of the wealth.
Understood. I want to thank you so much for your contribution. Down to brass tacks, you're on the air. Go ahead. We can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, you need to listen to your telephone and turn off the radio.
I didn't expect to get through so fast, Joya.
Well, today's your lucky day, then.
Jeez, I'm ready to go and buy a lotto ticket.
You should. Mega 6 to be seized, or Super Lotto, whatever it is.
Okay. I just hear people call in and do poems and stuff like that to you, right?
To the public, not for me.
To the public.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
all right, before
much.
I say that. All right. Then I got kicked out of NIFCA, right? I got kicked out of NIFCA for doing a spoken word piece that pertaining to the former government, right? Mm-hmm. And it seems as though just the same spoken word piece like it could work with the same government. It dread. Now, you see, some person calling and talk about land issues and stuff like that, right? It really rough. I had a fight with the government for 25 years. I only acquired my land because I acquired my land last year, November, and the land tax they get hit with just here the other day blew my cool. It really blew my cool, right? And it seems as though it's like, this is just how I feel. Any reflection on the radio station, anything like that, this is just how I feel. I feel that these people are hell-bent on us black people owning nothing.
Who's these nothing. People? Like, who?
I'm talking about the government.
The government don't want to see, okay.
Right? Both governments, both. Because these are the only two governments that we ever had. As mm-hmm. I was telling some person today while I was at my place of business, I was telling some person today, why is it that we got either drink more? Why is it we got either got drink Milo or tea bag, meaning DLP or BLP? Mm-hmm. Why is it that when some person comes with something else new, we always got, you know, me ridicule it really hard? Like Richie Haynes had the NDP. It's only now that people starting to realize, you know, Richie Haynes was really brilliant, and the NDP like it would have worked.
Do you think that? Let me ask you a question. You think people look too much to government, towards government for this help? Because we talk about a government empowering the people. But
you see, I'm glad you say
what's
that.
What's the definition of empowering a person?
I'm glad you say that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm glad you say that. Because, I mean, it's like the government always keep people dependent on them. The system is always set up for us.
But the system is designed that. Why would I? Let's just say, let me even bring it down to relationship. We involve and stuff like that there, and I'm depending on you. Because I depend on you, you could keep me right where you want me. The day that I become independent, you're scared because I'm not going to need you. I may move on to somebody else or not at all. It's the same kind of theory in my when it comes to politics. Sometimes you ask yourself, what is the definition to a politician of empowerment? Does it mean that I can get only so much but no more? And if I get too much, what does that mean? You know, so sometimes people in general, because they want to hold on to you, they want to hold on to that control, they'll only give you so much. And
wait,
no more.
Let me ask you a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, from my age, when I was younger, I can drive, I can walk through Belleville. I could not walk through Belleville. No way possible. You know why? Because Belleville had white folks out there that had big dogs that used to make sure the dogs didn't put on leashes nor nothing. The dogs would rush it to the gates. And my mother would tell me, listen, don't walk up there. Don't walk up there. Avoid that road.
But no? It's not like that today.
But no. Who own it now? Who own almost all of that street?
But what I'm trying to say is, how can we bring the wealth to people of color if it is the case of 92% of the wealth going right to the 2%.
Let me ask you a question. I do a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I often ship things into Barbados personally and stuff like that. The taxes that we pay, they don't pay. They don't pay. I was in Carter's one day standing up, and the cashier rang up something for the Chinese man that was in there. The Chinese man that was in there, and when the thing came up with the VAT tax, the Chinese man, it was in his face. I don't pay taxes. How you put this on here? I don't pay taxes. I was like, are you saying that out loud, brother? You should call for management and talk with us quietly. But you know what? You advertise it for all of you to know you don't pay taxes. A lot of them don't pay taxes.
But what is the bigger picture here that I'm trying to say? If 92, if 2% have the wealth, the 2% could have only gotten the wealth for the 92%. If the 92% would start spending their money outside of that 2%, then it changes. And that's what I'm trying to get at. We are responsible for us being poor as business people. We do not support each other. Jealousy comes into place from one person of color to another. This person is getting through. You want to then stop them from getting through, so you ain't going to let them get anything more than what they get. So I just want to say that even though the argument, again, and we can keep hearing it over and over again, isn't it time that Black people take some responsibility? And not just because for government and saying that it's government, oh, it's the white man. But what are we doing to support each other? I think that's the major issue. We are in the majority. Why don't we have the majority? Why the 2.5% got the majority? Because the majority spends with them.
May I ask you a question, right? Have you ever read the William Lynch syndrome?
No.
Have you ever read the William Lynch letter?
Nope.
Okay. You gotta read it. Just read it, because it would take too much time to talk about it. You just read it. Mohammed Nasser would definitely tell you about it if you want to call me.
But I think we can talk another time on it. But
if you go and tell a Black person, listen, if you want to hear the truth from the Black person, when you put it in a book, when you tell most Black people, listen to me, you know a book you should definitely read, Message to the People by Marcus Garvey. A lot of pages don't even know who Marcus Garvey is.
Okay, but in closing, I'm pretty much sure that NASA, for sure, what I said is one of the points that NASA, in my opinion, was trying to hit home. I mean, I don't think that people were coming down on NASA, even though maybe some were. I think that it's a case of where we have to recognize that, look, all right, we've been discussing this topic for many, many years. What are we doing wrong? That, you know, what can we change as Black people? And for me personally, if you hit people in the pocket, and if you continue to support those who already have, what about those that don't, that trying to make their way? We think that Black products are inferior and white products are superior, because we have that mentality. We need to get out of that slave-like mentality that people are superior based on color. And we need to stop it, and we need to then support other Black businesses. The only way that we are going to get out of this slump of repeated poverty over and over again, the discussion about whites having more than the Blacks, is if we start supporting each other. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. I want to mention something, because we're getting some different WhatsAppers here with various opinions over NASA. It's not NASA we are discussing today. It's an issue that he feels strongly about, and he has a lot of valid points, and that we need to help each other as Black people to empower each other. I'll give you an incident, a situation I saw the other day above Boarded Hall, where they're doing some construction, and there's some, I think they're doing the road now, they're finished. There's a lady there selling juice with just a chair and a little cooler. And I had to stop because, you know, you had to wait for the traffic to come down the opposite side. And I rolled down my window and I said, "What are you selling?" She told me what it was. She told me what it was. It was lemonade. It was Mobby. They weren't labeled or anything. I said, "Look, find a little table, find an umbrella, you know, and put on something a little bit more colorful, because no one is going to stop here really and take you serious." And I was to help her. And she really appreciated it. Now, no, I did not buy the juice, but at least I gave her free advice as to what she can do to improve her sales. And you could see she's trying, but she had the little cooler on a chair and not even an umbrella. And the sun was hot, and she's just standing there holding a bottle. I'm seeing several people around the streets trying to do it. And just to say, look, if you can borrow a table from somebody and an umbrella from, you know, one of those bigger ones to keep yourself cool, maybe put on a little colorful shirt or something, and even try to see if you can get some tags, labels made from a computer so that, you know, you're better able to position yourself. That's helping people. There's a lot more to this empowerment, empowering each other. But the question I had asked is, how does a government empower its people, and what is the definition How far did they go with that empowerment? Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Good afternoon. Go ahead, we can hear you. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Miss Hick. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine, thanks. Miss Hick, I want to get your opinion on a GIS article released on the 6th of September 2020 entitled Enough Buses for Reopening of Schools. You had a chance to...
Say that again. Sorry, go over that. Say that one more time.
Sorry, there's a GIS article which was published on the 6th of September 2020. Mm-hmm. It's entitled Enough Buses for Reopening of Schools, written by Melissa Rollock. And basically, in this article, the Minister of Education, the Honorable Sandhya Bradshaw, is saying, well, let me just read it here verbatim for you. Just
go ahead.
Public transportation has been a major concern for everyone. The intention is that with the additional buses purchased by government, we are certainly in a better position than we were last year as it relates to providing vehicles for students to get to school. What was your take on this, providing the electric buses for the school children?
I think once we have additional safe transportation, I see that as a plus. How do you see it?
Well, I have like three concerns about this, providing the electric buses for the school children on September 21st.
Okay.
The first one is, first of all, the capacity in the electric buses is very, very limited. There are only 27 seats. Well, there's a standing room for roughly 21 passengers, which is about 48 total capacity.
Compared to the older buses, how much?
Right. Whereas with the Marco Polo buses, there's a seating capacity of 40 and a standing capacity of 30.
Okay.
And therefore, that's a difference of about 22 passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry that because of the reduced passenger capacity, some school children might get left behind. My second concern,
but before you move to the second point, wouldn't the TAP program help augment that shortfall?
Right. The article also talks about the TAP.
Was that a yes or no? I mean, I just asked. I didn't know if you...
But I would say yes and no. Because my thing is, if, for instance, we know that some schools have one or two buses, right, to provide for the children. Now, my thing is that if, let me say, one particular school gets only one bus, and let me say there's, 22 people. I can just use this example. It might be a long stretch. But like we said, there's like only 15 persons extra or 20 persons extra. You might not want to jam-pack them in one bus. You might just want to use the Marco Polo bus that would be perfect for that particular school and the capacity that would be needed for that particular school. So in other words, what I'm saying is that as opposed to giving two buses to a school.
Did the article say that they're using electric buses only for the children?
No, I just told you, Ms. Big, that it is also being subsidized or also being helped with the TAP program. The article.
Right. Okay, but I know I was just asking if it was specific to electric buses.
Right, but
okay.
Just hear me out here, Ms. Big. Instead of providing, let me say a school needs one bus. Instead of providing two buses because the electric buses lack the capacity, you could send one bus, which is the Marco Polo bus. Or instead of sending, let's say, four buses because the electric buses lack capacity,
you only need to send
two Marco Polo buses. That's the point I'm making.
Logical, very logical.
Right. Thank you so much, Ms. Egg.
But I'm just trying to say that the article said different, because I didn't read it.
No, the article, all right, let me give you a little bit more, because I didn't want to take up the show reading the entire article.
Don't read, but pull out the point where it says...
All right, hold on. Let me click Control-F and type augment so I can quickly find it. All right, good. So here it says, COVID has presented us with some opportunities, and one of those opportunities was that we were able to work with private operators to augment the transport board buses, because at the time, we didn't have the number of buses that were required. So yes, Ms. Sig, it does talk about augmenting, but as I'm saying, What if you're using the electric buses? It's only obvious then that you will have to augment for certain schools. Whereas if you use the Marco Polo buses, you will have the opportunity to use less buses.
So we are assuming that what you're saying is that you're hoping that when they put it, the plan together, that this plan that you're saying is something that can work. But we don't know if that is already in train, if you understand what I'm saying. Because it didn't say that they're doing something totally opposite. You're just putting a suggestion out there for them to consider in the event that it has not been considered. Because I have no evidence to indicate that what you're saying is not something that will be put in place.
All right, well, I want to move on quickly, though, because I've still got two other concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So the next concern is that the children traveling on these electric buses, I worry that some of them, one or two of them, might get a little, you know, bored and decide to detach the emergency tools stuck to the walls of the buses and use them to shatter the glass, because each bus has about seven red-colored tools stuck to the walls, but they're only supposed to be used in the case of emergencies. But I feel we might get one or two children that might get bored and indiscriminately use the tools to shatter the glass of the glass panels for no good reason. My third concern about it, right, is that there are a number of USB ports throughout the buses, and I'm concerned, again, that a few children, not knowing any better, might destroy these USB ports by sticking foreign objects inside them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my last point for today.
That was your last, but go ahead.
No, that was my last about the electric buses. No, this is my last point for the day. I'm hoping, right, that when Parliament convenes next week, that the Attorney General will pilot legislation that would give murder accused the option to have reduced sentences for each name they, you know, could provide that are responsible for importing firearms into the country. Because, I mean, we both know by now that the people shooting up the streets don't have the finances nor the resources to import the firearms they're using. And therefore, there are obviously bigger powers behind the scenes facilitating the importation of the guns. And therefore, I think that people who are accused of murder should be allowed to expose the people behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And for every successful arrest, the accused murderer should get 1 year knocked off the sentence. Because when it comes to gun violence, you're not supposed to... I would say that you wouldn't really get anywhere with gun violence unless you attack it at the source. Because when you lock up a man for murder, the source is going to put the gun in the hands of another person to continue the violence.
Well, fair enough. I understand that point. The one with the buses, though, I must tell you that the article, it was general, and no one exactly indicated how many buses per school and what makeup of a bus it would be. So in all fairness to the Ministry of Education and to the Ministry of Transport, give them some time. Back to school is in a few days, and see what buses they put out and the combination before we say anything about it. All right? Thanks very much. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I was waiting so long, I went to St. Lucie and get back.
Oh, dear, you get back here safe, though?
Yeah.
Good.
What I called to say is that if they're going to be bringing people into this country, they should at least discuss it with the population. We know that they want to increase the population, but at the same time, they have to take certain things into consideration. One, you have to look at the culture of these people, right? Two, when they bring them in, they can bring in their families, and they got to put them into schools. And right now, the public schools are bursting to the seams. Are these children going to be going to private schools? Because the spaces in the private government schools, 25 students, nothing in an easy sport. You understand? I used to teach. And I could tell you, when you're going to a private school or you're teaching privately, you only get 15 students, you know. But in government, they can give you 25 or 35 students, right? And that's real. The next thing is they got to look at the housing situation for these people, right? And I don't think that they should take up our lands and sell them to these foreign nationals, etc., because it can push up the price of the land, right? And we don't want that in our situation. We need to keep our lands for local people. It's true they might be bringing in
money.
They might be bringing in investments and whatever. They might be millionaires, billionaires, whoever, right? We have to take into consideration the impact it's going to have on our population as well, because then people got to get adjusted to our way of life. Mm-hmm. And then two, you got to think about if what sort of criminal activities they're going to be bringing with them, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Because when people are not employed, right, our locals right now, we got a quarter of our population unemployed, mm-hmm. right? And when you bring these big numbers, right, what's going to happen there? It's going to cause a lot of confusion. This is the way that I see it. I think they should discuss this matter because, and then people with COVID and people that got health issues and all sorts of things who want to come to this country, why they got to pick Barbados? They can't go somewhere
but
else.
Let me see if I could try my best. You know, some people may say, certainly I'm not the brightest cherry in the tree, but you have a population of under 300,000 people. You need businesses. You need people to shop. Take even an event like Reggae on the Hill. If you only have a small population, this is why places like China do very well, because 50,000 people go to a show versus a little 10,000 people to support it. If you bring in people, I would like to think, like all immigration policies all over the world, that there's a process of how you vet people to come into your country to become citizens. And you're saying that we should go to a referendum in order to determine what we should have already been determined with the immigration policy. Should not immigration policy fall under the same thing, bringing people here, allowing people to work and to stay? If you're understanding what I'm saying, do we not vet people already, or should we not be vetting people already, I should say?
Well, I would hope so.
Right. So if I get on a plane, I live in Guyana, and I want to come to Barbados or Brazil, and I want to apply for citizenship here, work, everything. I want to bring my whole family. There is something in place, I would believe, in order to facilitate that process. Why then should the government come to Barbadians and ask for to put a referendum there so that we can get more people to come into the country? I just ask.
But there's not people from Guyana that will be coming, but there'll be people from the first world who will be coming, and mm-hmm. most of those people that will be coming will probably be millionaires and billionaires. Mm-hmm. And when they come, they're looking for land, and they're looking for building, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So
but don't you think at the same time the conversation then should be making sure that Barbadians are as much as possible comfortable employed, as well as then saying that we can bring in some people, because we need to balance. We need to, obviously, we need to take care of our own first. We
of
know
course.
That.
But. On the Caribbean, I'm thinking about international mm-hmm. world.
I'm thinking people in general, because they're all human beings. However,
I know that.
In order for me, let me just picture, in order for me to do something successfully for my people, I'm going to start the process of getting them jobs is going to take some time. And on this other hand, I'm going to try to bring in some more people who possibly can invest money-wise and intellectually and stuff like that. So I'm saying that you got to do both. And I think you have to do both at the same time, gradually on bringing in the persons. I don't think it can just be 80,000 people in the space of a year, I would hate, you know, and not get Barbadians to work. So you have to engage, employ the population, the water supply in the country. We know needs to be stabilized, and they're moving towards that.
And you see how there's certain the water system is right now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is balance.
But
in order for us to get the money to stimulate the economy, we need these people. Why can't we do both?
Yeah, we need it. Yes, we need the people. But the thing about here is when they're bringing people, they're going to attract the investors, right, mm-hmm. we believe. And the investors will mostly be millionaires and billionaires, right? Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you don't find millionaires and billionaires being black. You understand?
But why does this have to be a color thing?
Time,
I am
most
so
of the time
lost.
They're white. You understand?
And
when they come down here, they will come in and use our country and send back their money to their homeland.
Ma'am, I would like to say this, and it's up to you, because you really are entitled to how you feel, and I totally
yes.
respect that. I totally
I
do.
Right.
Of course. So I was wondering if you would give some consideration to when we look at people and say, listen, I hope they bring in people of good character.
Of course.
Right. So color to me, and it, color to me is not relevant. But that's just my opinion. But you just said white people, so I'm like,
everybody got different personalities and everybody got different behaviors and stuff like that. And then you got to watch the crying pattern that will be coming.
Right, character. So So I'm saying that for me, I'm hoping that persons would give greater consideration to saying things like, I hope that we bring in 80,000 people of good character that could benefit this country, that could understand and willing to work with us in our, you know, with our differences, with our culture. Those are the things that I think we should be looking at, as opposed to these people, or calling them these people, because it's only really only one world. And more often than not, if you look at it on a bigger scale, there, we have more in common than the things that we look at each other that divide us. We as human beings have a lot more in common than the things that divide us. I want to thank you so much for your call. Down to Brass Tacks, you are on the air. Good afternoon. Yes.
Octogenarian.
Yes. Hello.
Which means hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I said I am a Black Bajan octogenarian. Mm-hmm. In other words, I have passed 80 years.
Today I'm having all of the senior citizens, and that is such a good thing. Go ahead.
Right. In fact, I do on. I have known Mr. Nasser all my life that I've heard his name. And I knew very clearly when Mr. Nasser had made his first million that it was a big talk from people who went to Harrison College and other places and had degrees and all sorts of things, and they were talking about Nasser being a millionaire. Not with any degree of, let's say, not of applause or any such thing. In fact, in wonder, you know, look how he does this. But the point is that he had many other persons working with him and earning a living for themselves and their families. And he always helped people. He did very good work. I remember wrought iron work and all sorts of things and chairs and stuff for the schools and all sorts of things. Whatever he could put his hand to that could be made, he tried to make it and taught other people to, and help them to get along. But we are just a crab in a barrel race. We, as soon as somebody tries to get up, our biggest thing is to get the person down, not for him to put a hand and help us up too. And it happens all around in families as well. You will have a member of family who wants to buy something. You have a few thousand dollars on the bank, not earning but very much interest. But the person would rather go and take out a big loan with high interest rather than let you lend him or her, and that person pay you back back the few cents on the bank accordingly as they get them, because they feel that make you feel too proud. That will make you feel like you are important. So they go and borrow from everybody else, pay through the nose, and they owe everybody. The next thing is the Black women of Barbados have got to learn common sense. You are born with hair that is yours. You do not need anybody else's hair. And they spend a lot of foolish money on everybody's hair. Goat hair, dog hair, donkey hair, all sorts of hair. If you would sum up the amount of money that Black women spend on hair, you would be surprised. If they would go in the supermarket and buy some food, they would be able to feed a lot of people that are hungry. But they do all this thing. You invite a Black person to come in to see for a loan. They got to go to get credit, and they're buying this shoe, this suit, and they go go in there like if they own the place. They don't go in there like if they're coming to borrow money. They come in like if they own it. Everything is a loan. Card, swipe. And the big people in business are irresponsible. A person who does not earn a certain amount should not be able to borrow $1,000 or nothing and to do foolishness. If you cannot afford a bed, get a blanket or something and a thing on the floor. You go in there and buy all kind of big suites with 1,001 cushions up to the thing. You can't pay the person the rent for the house that you're living in. But you must feel that somebody doesn't want you to get through if somebody tells you that you shouldn't be investing in all sorts of think palaces or whatever. And we have to stop it. This nonsense of come in, no down payment. Mr. Barr had stopped that. Mr. Barr had instituted something that if a person could not pay at least 30%, I think it was, of the cost of something, the person should not have the credit, because people were going and bringing out a whole store, and then by Monday morning or Tuesday, the truck was there to carry back the things because they were not paying for the things. We have
so it's bad management in terms of their finances, people living above their means.
But it is also bad business for the business people who know that the people don't have any money and telling them to come in and no down payment. The no down payment is nonsense.
And you end up paying five times the value.
But the point is that you know that you risk not getting it, and that's why it costs 1,000 times more than the real cost. But that is only putting stupid people into debt from which they cannot get out. I don't know if they give a no down payment for the coffins, though. I think that's a bit of fraud.
That's one thing. No, I think you can get that one higher purchase somehow.
Make sure that they pay up front because they bury the person but not the money.
Oh dear. Well, I want to thank you, but I'm on the fence with what you're saying. You have some very good points in terms of people need to be educated in terms of how to spend their money. But on the other hand, there are people who need to acquire things and they don't have the cash, and they would like the opportunity to have a television or a bed, and that works for them. But they do need to understand that higher purchase, they need to read the fine print, because a lot of people don't. And if you can't afford and you don't need it. But I find that the other day I was asking one of the guys on the block. He said, man, I had all my brand name shirt and my shoes matching and so on. He was proud. And I said, but why does that matter so much? He said, because honestly, when you're black, you know, these things matter because you live a life where your parents scrunt a lot. So for black people, this is his opinion, it just felt, we feel good knowing that we can wear something that looks good. And that was his rationale. So to each his own. But I want to thank you so much for your call. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I just want to make a comment here on the land tax issue.
Mm-hmm.
No. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. My to me, right, I don't know if it's a misnomer to call it land tax, because to my mind, land tax, let me say this. I think taxation should be on earned or some form of investment income. In the case of land tax has, take the owner-occupied house. The owner-occupied house, for the owner-occupied house, the owner has to pay tax from either earned income or pension, right? Then the person has to pay, if they have to pay mortgage, then the person has to pay cover house repairs and also insurance. Now, you're telling me that, why would you call it land tax? Then you add that land tax to that. There's no additional income anybody gets to pay the land tax. So I've always had difficulty with the logic behind a land tax. There's no financial logic to a land tax. I think, but what, having said all that, I have to accept this fact. Obviously, the government of Barbados has to find ways of getting money. And I think that land tax is thrown in there to raise money. Because I was in the hospital recently, and when I sat down and I considered, I had to give thought to the running the Queen Elizabeth Hospital alone. And when one thinks of the expenditure in that to run that institution, 22 secondary schools, if everybody a graduate, and maybe every primary school now has a graduate and people get graduate pay. And those are just the two, and of course, community college. So when people look, I hear the lady talking about crying out about the land tax. But when I look at the expenditure side of the government, the children have to go to school. I see many young girls going to the Queen's Hospital pregnant. They don't earn any income. Some of them contribute nothing to the country. But they're at the hospital every day. Any past few days is amazing. See, so there's a lot of expenditure that government has. So while I don't like the logic of a land tax, I could see government has to find ways of getting money to finance the country. And I mean, to me, it is really burdensome on this country to carry. I believe that the government provides too many services. Mm-hmm.
I think the argument, or the debate rather, mm-hmm. for myself and another gentleman I remember speaking to, mm-hmm. I think it's okay to pay the land tax. I just feel that when you reach a certain age, you shouldn't have to pay. Once you finish paying your mortgage, I think that you need to relax yourself and not have to worry about that, and then let your children worry about it when they inherit the property.
Having said that, though, there are some people who are older folk who are pretty wealthy.
No, it only applies, let me just say, that's why we're talking about means tests and who can and can't. But I guess there's an argument, some people with money saying just because I have money doesn't mean that I should be spending it or paying it out.
I know, fair enough.
You know, they also have that argument too.
But my point is that even, I mean, as you, if you want, you can make a contribution to the country in that regard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, for your own safety too. Because mm-hmm. I remember later, at many political meetings, he would say if you're wealthy and you can't, and the people out there are not, and they're suffering, they might break your house. So for the safety, for everybody's safety, I believe people in the society should be comfortable. And wherever people can contribute to make other people's lives better, I think we should.
Aha, that's where, we're ending almost the show, is just very much so that statement. We need to help each other. I can't stress that enough. Don't depend on government only.
Right, I agree. And another thing, I've listened to Mr. Nasser, right? But I wonder if people are looking at who controls what we call the commanding heights of our economy, if you call it that. A term that you used to use quite a lot. But let me ask a question. Who are the big profit takers in Barbados?
You tell me. Tell me.
I could listen for you, but maybe just one again. I don't know.
We do have to wrap up. We got a full board. We got a full board, and we got to take a break. We really do. Okay? We'll be back. Welcome back. We've got a full board, so let's take as many calls as we can. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Peace be unto you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. We've got a couple minutes.
Yes, you're right. I wanted to say something that might take a little time. Now,
let's hope it won't.
Okay. Now, there were three men in the king's court who wanted to come up with the greatest idea. And one of them came up with this thought that women were the strongest of all things. And the gentleman went on to elaborate and say how he saw the queen slap the king in his face and he did nothing about it and whatnot. And then they agreed that women were the strongest. Then the other guy came up with the fact that wine was the strongest. He said when you drink wine and, you know, take other toxic drinks and whatnot, you go and you do all sorts of things and you rage you and mm-hmm. your family will always be poor. And the other fella came up with his point. Everybody agreed that the first two was okay. The last fella came up with the king, to the king, and he says, the truth is the greatest point of all. And he said, he will prove it by asking the king if he have fulfilled the promises that he had made. And the king had promised to build back the wall in Jerusalem, and he didn't do it. He only talked about it. Ma'am, I read that story. I have always put it to my mind. I listen to people talk. But I learned that the truth is the greatest of all.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ms. Brass Tacks.
Yes, go right ahead.
People talking all over the face, but they don't understand what white people and all kinds of different people. But my color tribe's so good.
That
my
what?
My color tribe's so good.
Uh-huh.
That they could really hush them out. Because when you look around, you will see that our government is a color lady. A color lady running the government, the prime minister. The police is a commissioner. Commissioner, a kind of fella, kind of man like myself. Everybody is carried today, up top. The hospital, carried doctors. Everybody's carried through. How we tribe so good then? And talk about people all the time. And we tribe so good and so bad.
Well, I find now.
I can't understand.
I think we live in too much in the. The history is very important. It really is. But we don't live in it. We're supposed to learn from it and do better. So the lessons learned, we move forward and we do better. But I find that this white and black and then referring to these people, and we're all human beings, all want the same thing. We all want to be happy. We want to be loved. You know, we may speak different languages. Cultures may be a little bit different, but doesn't everybody cry when somebody dies? I mean, that they love? Doesn't everybody have to eat? People want to see their children do well. This separation thing needs to stop. Yes, we lived at a time where whites were superior. They wanted to be in, they did it. And women couldn't vote and all types of things. We've done so much. We're doing so much better. Yes, we have a long way to go. Let's have a discussion as to what we need to do better. Do we need to support more black businesses? Then let's do that. We need to show more respect for each other and their opinions. Then let's do that. You know, but that's just my two cents. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Joanne, I've been calling the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Labor to ask about the rate for cook or housekeeper or anything. You know, in these times,
mm-hmm.
you want a job, but you want to know the rates, because the rates is not out there, and people will want to pay you anything. And I've been calling, and the phone just ring. I try morning. I said they might be busy. I try midday. I try evening. And from last week, and I try even again up to today, the phone just ringing out. I want to know if the number changed, because the number I've been calling is 535-1500, right? And mm-hmm. no answer at all. The phone just keep ringing.
So you wanted to know what the minimum wage is, or just various for various? Because people will pay you what you negotiate, but they can't go under a certain amount.
Right.
So,
I want to know the minimum wage. Yeah.
Dennis, I think it's $250 a week is the minimum wage in this country. I think so. But I can...
For a cooker?
I'm not 100% sure. And Dennis is not sure either. But hopefully, maybe tomorrow someone can explain that, what it is.
Right, because the rate needs to be out there, you know. What is it for a cook, a housekeeper, or a gardener, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I know it can't go under a certain amount, but it certainly can go over.
Yes, you know, so and the transport board, they said the revenue is down. But you know why the revenue is down? Because they're not sending the bus, especially to St. John, Sargent Street. Sundays after church, you have to wait so long. Sometimes there's no bus. There's no 1, 2, 3. You come home till but 5. And
even now that we have more buses?
Even now Sunday gone was it. You go into transport board for 1 o'clock, no 1, no 2. Mm-hmm. Till after 3.
But you've seen a slight improvement at least, or not at all?
Well,
for St. John?
Well, slight. I don't know when the school children come out, if it will
be like we're getting here $6.25 per hour is the minimum wage, yes. $6.25 per hour.
For a housekeeper?
And it says here, domestics and shop assistants.
Domestic and shop assistants. Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Let's get one more caller in. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, there's a stigma that I've always heard, making fun at the stigma of a lamb flowing with milk and honey. And, I mean, it's preposterous to try to interpret that as literal because it's just an idiom meaning blessings. Mm-hmm. And I think that black people assume because, yes, we were slaves, that all of a sudden, all of us are going to be rich. And the Bible says, better is a dinner of herbs where there is love than hatred where there is much feasting. And, you know, I would draw an example. Like, you know how you're always encouraging us to help each other? And I was out with a friend of mine, and we were eating. Mm-hmm. And there was this guy. I don't know him personally, but I know of his situation. And he was asking for something to eat. And I wanted to help him. And the guy that I was with, he was like, no. And then people just be blighted. And, you know, like one guy said earlier, a lot of black people who have made it, they forget that even if themselves personally were not enjoying some form of hardship, that maybe their four parents were. And not to forget that, you know, all human beings at some point can fall into hard times. So I don't know.
I think people need to remember where they came from. There are a lot of black people in this country that they're doing okay, and they say to other people, "Well, why you don't go and find a job? I had to go and do it, and I had to do this." And maybe they did, but Kadir, we're different in our approach as to how we can get through in life.
But
some
I mean,
stronger than others.
I don't know that I particularly like this statement, remember where you come from, because there are people who will be rich and would have never known poverty. A statement.
No, well, let me rephrase that. I'm referring to those who born into poverty and made it, not necessarily those who born with a gold spoon.
But I mean, where I was there from, because I use the Bible as a reference and other spiritual resources, the bowels of compassion, you are human. And I just came across this song last night, A Man Is Still a Man. And I would have called in this program mentioning an incident I witnessed in Bridgetown. And if that gentleman that called in and said, oh, look who she talking about, Ninja Man. And this song is a song by Morgan Heritage. A man is still a man, whether he's black or white, whether he's rich or poor, whether he wears a jacket and tie, or, you know, whether he you know, I mean, that would be a song for anybody to listen to the lyrics and to really embrace humanity as a whole, because nobody, we are all supposed to be our brother's keeper. We are all supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. But again, that's a spiritual
and stop gauging people, stop gauging success by money and more so by character, because you know, your degrees, you can have so many degrees and go to university, you don't have good character, you have nothing. In my opinion. But I want to thank all of the callers. Thank the producer, Dennis Johnson. It was a great program. I'm sorry I didn't get through all the WhatsApp messages. And to those who wanted to know about the 100 Sucklins, the number will be at Starcom front desk. call and you will get the telephone number from them to see how you can get the suckers, my apologies, for the gentleman who's going to give 100 away to some people. Thank you so much. Until God bless.